I entitled this lesson this morning, Attack, Insult, or Speak Evil of Israel is to do the same to God. You say it's a pretty strong statement. Yeah, it is. But it's not my statement. It's God's Word, and we're going to show you that. And we're going to be bouncing back and forth from a few scriptures. But the main text of the lesson this morning is Ezekiel chapter 35. That's where we're going to get into the meat. But there's some scriptures we have to go to open those up. So in the book of Ezekiel, God keeps revealing what He has done and will do to various nations that has hated Israel. There's nations out there who want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Not only today, but back in the ancient times. In chapters 25, we won't go there, but you, for your information, chapter 25 through 32 of Ezekiel, the Lord announced that He would destroy six nations. They were the nations of Ammon, Moab, Edom, which we're going to zero in on this morning, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, and Sidon. And then in chapters 30 through 32 of Ezekiel, the Lord announced that He would also include the seventh nation, and that was the nation of Egypt, and many people would be killed. And that happened. So why do you think the Lord wanted these nations, these particular nations, why did you think He wanted to do away with them? And we're going to cover it later, but they had cursed Israel. And God took care of them because of that. Look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 for a minute. And it's basically saying in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, basically is a warning. And He's saying, I will bless those who bless you. Talking about God's people, Israel. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. In this verse, there's two words there that are translated as a curse from the Hebrew word. The first Hebrew word that is translated as a curse literally means this. It means to disparage, abuse, dishonor, and despise. That's what curse means there. The second curse, it actually means the word curse is what I just read. So the nations, any nations which abuse, despise, and dishonor Israel would be destroyed or punished. And we can think of the nations today, can't we, who want to do that to Israel and trying with all their might to do that. So never discount. We see this war going on over in the Middle East. God's in control, folks. God is in control. And I would hate to be that nation of Iran, which used to be Persia, because what are they doing? They are trying to destroy Israel. And if you're trying to destroy Israel, you are trying to destroy God. And I'm going to show you that. These are God's people. This is His favorite people. Between the descendants of Jacob and Esau, guess who He chose? The descendants of Jacob, not Esau. And Esau has always been a wild donkey of a man, put it in those terms, but always fighting. So what we're going to look at this second announcement of judgment upon the ancient nation of Edom. This ancient nation of Edom was Esau. That's what he founded, that whole nation of Edom was Esau. And they were constantly combatant against Israel. It's especially when they came up into the promised land. These Edomites were descendants of Esau. Esau was the older brother, by maybe a few seconds, or he was the older brother of Isaac. He was the one that was constantly fighting against the younger brother. And there was reasons, and we're going to cover that. These Edomites, they were the forefathers of Israel, Jacob and Esau. And in Genesis 27, oh, we won't go there, but I'll just refresh your memory that you remember Jacob stole the birthright of Esau. You remember that? You biblical scholars should know that. Jacob stole the birthright of his elder brother. The birthright should have gone to the eldest. That would have been Esau because he came out first. He, Jacob, stole Esau's birthright. So when he found out, Esau found out what was going on, he got angry. He got mad. He went to his father and said, "Father, give me a blessing." And he said, "I can't. I already blessed your younger son with the blessing." And he said, "Don't you have a blessing for me, Father?" And he said, "Well, okay." So here's the blessing that Isaac gave to Esau. "Behold," and this is found in Genesis 27:39-40, if you want that for reference. "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall your dwelling be." That's Esau. He said, "And away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword shall you live. And your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck." So this blessing says that Esau would be a violent man and he would serve his younger brother. But later he would break free of that bondage, that yoke. And the offspring of Esau, they're called Edomites. The Edomites. Genesis 36 verse 8 states that Esau lived in the hill country of Seir. Then adds that Esau is Edom. That's the word. It says Esau is Edom. And that's where the Edomites come from. This land of Edom was from Esau. So they lived in that land in the region called Seir. And this was south of the Dead Sea. If you look on your Bible maps, and you'll find where the Edom was. South of the Dead Sea. And down the Gulf of Aqaba. Aqaba is also the Red Sea. That's the location. The main cities around there were Teman, which can't be located in today, and Petra. You've probably heard of Petra. But the location, they settled in the land of Palestine before Israel did. Now don't get mixed up. We're not talking about modern day Palestine, okay? Or the Palestinians, no. That's a whole different group of people altogether. But the land was called at that time Palestine. And Edom moved there first because what was happening down in Egypt was Jacob and his sons were now thriving down there because of what Joseph had done. Once they make their trek up into here, then that's when the problems start. Two different nations here from the same father, Isaac. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 12, it states this, that the Edomites destroyed the Horites and settled in their place. So now the Edomites refused to let Israel, when they're coming up out of Egypt, to cross over their land. They wanted to cross over to get to the other side of the Dead Sea. They wanted to go to the east side. But the king of Edom said, "No, no." And he formed a great army to blockade these Israelites from entering into his land. Once Israel established in the land of Palestine, conflict of the Edomites never ended. There was a long history of conflict between Israel and these Edomites. And that's found in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 14 through 16, and it says this: Then the Lord raised Hadad, the Edomite, a member of Edom's royal family, to be Solomon's adversary. And in years before, David had defeated Edom. Joab was his army commander, had stayed to bury some of the dead Israelites that had been killed, the soldiers who had died on the battle. And while they were there for 6 months, and they killed every male that was in Edom at that time. So Joab and the army of Israel had stayed there for 6 months, killing them. Psalms 137 tells us this. He states, O Lord, remember what the Edomites did on that day that the armies of Babylon captured Jerusalem. They said, this is what these Edomites said. They said, destroy it. They yelled out, level it to the ground. And that was the Edomites. They wanted it destroyed. They wanted it leveled to the ground. Much like Iran wants today. Okay? Consequently, Israel was constantly forced to defend itself. Always in wars. Always, always. Constantly defending itself. So the Lord planned to destroy these Edomites. And they're characterized as a people. These are the kind of people they're characterized. You can find that in Isaiah 34, verse 5. They're characterized as a people who were devoted to destruction, especially the destruction of Israel. And you can think of people today, can't you?
Yep.
That are devoted to that very thing. Not only them, but us as the United States. So Jeremiah now, Jeremiah 49, verses 17 through 21, tells us that the prophet Jeremiah, he announced that the Lord God Almighty had declared Edom would be destroyed, as of Sodom and Gomorrah were. So here's the plan that God had for Edom. Edom will become an object of horror. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified. They will hiss at all its wounds, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, says the Lord. No one will live there, nor will a son of man reside in it. That was Jeremiah 49:17, verse 18. And then in Ezekiel now, chapter 25, he says, we read another prophecy, what the Lord is saying about this Edom. He said about the destruction of Edom. In that prophecy, Ezekiel is saying, the Lord gave us the reason for destroying Edom. He said that the nation had acted against Israel to take vengeance. In other words, Edom was taking vengeance against Israel. Can you think of a nation today that's taking vengeance against Israel? Then in Ezekiel 32 and 29, God described another part of his punishment upon the kings and the peoples of Edom. Notice the king and the peoples. It wasn't just the king or the leadership, and the peoples. When these individuals were killed, they would spend their eternity with the uncircumcised in hell. That's Ezekiel 32:29. Okay? He said when they're punished and they're killed, these Edomites, they will spend eternity with the uncircumcised in hell. Who is it out there says there is no hell? God just proved it right here in his word. For the Edomites, that would be, have been very disgusting and insulting to hear that. But God has a plan. And now we're going to get into chapter 35 here. So the next time that Edom is mentioned in Ezekiel is in Ezekiel 35. And in this chapter, the Lord announces his detailed plans on how he's going to destroy Edom. And it may seem strange because this seems to fall. Verse 30, chapter 34 is about the regathering of Israel. And then you have that in the millennial kingdom. And then you have right in the middle of that chapter 35 dealing with the destruction of the Edomites. And you might say, well, that feels strange. That sounds strange. But these three chapters, 34, 35, and 36, they show that God favors Israel. That's God's favorite. That's His people. That's His land. That's out of all the earth. God says, I will have a people for me. A people that will serve me. And I will have a land where the people will serve me. And that land is Israel. You got all the world trying to destroy what God said was His. So I'll show you this in the Word, okay? Chapter 35 of Ezekiel has three sections we're going to cover. First section, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And it's about the Lord's plan for Edom and Mount Seir. Verse 1 through 4 says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say to it, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you a desolation and a waste. I will lay waste your cities, and you will become a desolation. Then you will know that I am the Lord. That's Ezekiel 35, 1 through 4. Notice the Lord is saying there, I will. God, He is sovereign. He is in control. He will personally make the nation desolate and a waste. Verse 3, He said that He would make Edom waste. Verse 4, He said, I will lay waste your cities. There's three different Hebrew words that's translated here as a desolation and waste in this verse 3 and verse 4. Together, these three words describe the total ruin resulting in a sparsely populated land. That description is sparsely populated land is today what used to be ancient Edom is Jordan, the land of Jordan, and it's largely barren. That description of God's plan for Edom. The next section in verses 5 through 9 of chapter 35 says, Because you have everlasting enmity or hatred and have delivered the sons of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity and at the time of the punishment of the end, therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will give you over to bloodshed, and bloodshed will pursue you since you have not hated bloodshed. Therefore, bloodshed will pursue you. That's verse 5 and 6 of Ezekiel 35. So immediately the Lord reveals that the Edomites had hated Israel from generation to generation. It began in Genesis, and it continued century after century. Esau hated Jacob, his brother. And that hatred has never ended. God said it was an everlasting enmity. Still exists today in the Arab communities. The Lord said that the hatred resulted in the Edomites. This hatred resulted by the Edomites killing the Israelites. Therefore, God said that bloodshed would pursue them. Because they love bloodshed, their killers would be killed. That is a play on words in verse 6. The Hebrew word for bloodshed is used four times there. The Hebrew word is dam, D-A-M, dam. It means red. The name Esau means red. Remember when he came out of the womb, he's all red? God emphasized here, I think, that Edom was a bloody nation. They sought vengeance against their brother Israel. Remember, these two nations, the brothers, the two sons of Isaac, they're brothers. The nations are formed from their brothers. And we see one killing the other. There's a proverb, and Proverbs 17:17 gives us this biblical principle. A friend loves at all times. How many of you ever had a really, really close friend that wasn't a brother? And there's a bond and a friendship there unlike you would ever have from your brother. Because the friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversary. And I don't know how many have been in families with more than one brother, but I had five brothers, and there's constantly one of the others trying to get over on the other. That's just, you know, it's the way it was, the way it is a lot of times. But a lot of times the hatred sets in, and the hatred gets so intense that one brother would actually kill another brother. And we saw that from the very beginning, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Cain and Abel, brothers. We see that throughout history. We see that in today's time. A lot of times, brothers won't even talk to brothers. Family members won't even talk to family members. And a lot of it happens because, well, mom and dad died, and they had a lot of money, and I think I should have it. It's all about money a lot of times. A lot of hatred spewed out all over something that means nothing. You can't take it to heaven with you. Verse 7 and 8. This continues in the description of Yahweh's punishment upon Edomites. He said, I will make Mount Seir, that was in Edom, a waste, a desolation. I will cut it off from it, the one who passes through it and returns. And he said, I will fill its mountains with its slain, on your hills and on your valleys, and in all your ravines, those slain by the sword will fall. So we're told here that the Edomites, their bodies would be left on the mountains, in the valleys, in the ravines, just laying out, not buried. And not to be properly buried, that was a height of indignity in the Orient. In other words, a body needs a proper burial. But when it's left laid out there, that was the most indignant thing they could ever think of. And that's what God said that's going to happen. The slain of Edom would be found in the mountains, the hills, the valleys, and the water courses, all without the benefit of a burial. God's sole and final answer to the perpetual enmity was a perpetual destruction. Why did God plan to intentionally crush their pride? Because punishment, listen, child of God, punishment is supposed to hurt in order to motivate us to change. How many of you ever been spanked by your dad or your mom with something other than hands? Or even hands? It hurts. It's punishment. It's intended to hurt, to get you to change your ways. It's the same with God. You know, and I know this is not going over very well, but let me remind you, it is the Word of God, and many times people don't want to hear what the Word of God says. The book of Obadiah reveals that Edom was very proud. Here's what it says in verses 2 and 3 of the book of Obadiah. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the cliffs and on the rocks, in the loftiness of your dwelling places, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? In other words, he's saying, you that are living in these rocks, in these high places, and built caves in the sides of the walls, you said in your hearts, this is Edom, said, who will bring me down? Well, the answer to that question is, God will. God will bring him down. God himself will bring you down to the earth. This is a serious reminder, folks, it should be to you, that God himself will punish us for unrepented sins. You say, I don't like to hear that either. Yeah, I know. But if you go around your life with unrepentant sin, you will be punished. God will punish you. I'm not saying that that will prevent you from going into heaven, but you will suffer loss. And if it doesn't totally punish you, many times if you still refuse to repent, he may go ahead and take you home. Because his word tells us, why shall a man die before his time? If you refuse to repent, you know you're doing wrong and refuse to repent, God may say, I'm tired of you shaming my name. Come on home, son. Just come on home. So it's a serious reminder for us that he will punish us for unrepentant sins. But, look, we can make the first move here. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verses 31-32 said, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. You see why he chastens us? He don't want us to be condemned with the rest of the world. Let me read that again. But if we judge ourselves rightly, in other words, we know we sin, we go to God and say, Lord Jesus, I just told a lie right here. Please forgive me. Lord Jesus, let your blood cleanse me. Then you have judged yourself. It's that simple. But if you go on and go on and go on and go on and keep telling lies, and you know you're a liar, and you keep telling lies and it becomes part of you, that's what God's talking about. You're non-repentant. You haven't turned from it. You may recognize it, but you got to turn away from it. That's the repentance part. And God said, when you do that, I don't have to judge you. You've already judged yourself and put it at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let his blood atone for it. So we're told to judge ourselves, and then we will not be judged. That is, if we call God, call our sin a sin, what God calls it, and repent, then the Lord will not punish us. But if we do not repent, then he will punish us. So, what do? God is encouraging us, his saints, blood-bought people of God. He's encouraging us to pursue righteousness. In other words, it's that sanctification process Pastor Bob so much talks about. But it's walking in truth before God, and it's knowing when you do sin, you got the advocate in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Don't wait. Call upon him. Galatians 6:7 says, we reap what we sow. Basically, we reap what we sow. So the next verse in Ezekiel 35 is verse 9. It says, I will make you an everlasting desolation, talking about Edom, and your cities will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This consequence of Edom's pride. Their pride turned to hatred. Then the hatred turned into killing. And then, you know, God here we see is going to punish them now. You ever notice that cycle? A prideful man is so prideful. And if someone calls him on his pride, then a lot of times that turns to hate. And that hate fills the man's heart to where he tries to get revenge or may do something even worse. That's the process. This pride that Edom had, Esau's clan. He said, the Lord know that I am the Lord, he says. And he said this the first time in verse 4, now he's saying it again. And this suggests that, you know, these Edomites, they didn't believe God. They just didn't believe what he said he was going to do. In verses 10 and 15, the third section of this chapter, it says, because you have said, these two nations, these two lands will be mine, and we will possess them, although the Lord was there. What's he talking about? He said, because Edom had said these two nations, what two nations? It was where Israel was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. And the Lord knew the Edomites' thoughts. He knew that they wanted to take control of that land. And the Lord God also said, although the Lord was there, he said, I am there in these lands, and you want to take over it. And he said, because I am there, he revealed that he identified himself with Israel. Because he was there. He was God's. Those was his people. That was his land. God was there. That's where he chose to put his temple. That's where he chose to offer up the feast before God. That's his people. And they were praising him, or trying to. But the Edomites wanted to take them over and destroy them. God is helping them identify their root sin, which was that pride. The symptoms of hatred after the pride were anger and jealousy. They look at Israel. This is God's chosen people. Well, we came from the same bloodline. How come we don't have that? How come God is not on our side? How come? Well, it's because of their hatred. It's because of their anger. It's because of their jealousy. It's because of the killings. Remember what God said? The blessing on Esau? That he would be a wild man, of fighting with the sword all the time. and he was out in the desert areas where there was no fertile soil. He was out there where there was no rain, no dew coming, no dew drop. So that's where he was at. That's where he was living. So he, no doubt, he was bitter over that, but he was a foolish man from the beginning. Verse 14 and 15 conclude this chapter. Thus says the Lord God, all the earth rejoices. I will make you a desolation as you rejoice over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was so desolate. So I will do to you, he's talking to Edom, and you will be a desolation, O Mount Seir, and all of Edom, all of it. And they will know that I am the Lord. He said, I'm going to do this, and they will know that I'm the Lord. Now God reveals the earth will rejoice when Edom is destroyed. And he also reveals what Edom did to Israel. And he says, I'll do it to them. You did this to Israel, I'm going to do this to you. Once again, this is another reminder of Galatians 6:7. Whatever you sow, you will reap. So Edom is reaping what they sowed. So the first reason that God is going to destroy Edom was their hatred for Israel. The second reason God is going to destroy Israel for their jealousy of Israel. They wanted Israel removed from the land so they possess it themselves. And now we can better understand this sense of God's comment when he said in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2b and 3a, he said, Jacob have I loved. Remember that? But Esau have I hated. Now you know why he hated Esau. Because what they became and what they wouldn't repent of. But he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Coming full circle now. Conclusion, when the Lord is merciful to his people and bestows upon them the promised blessings, and we can find them throughout the scripture, he will also deal with the enemies in judgment. Edom was the most bitter enemy of Israel. Their blood relations between Jacob and Esau. Yet we see Esau, the Edomites, they wanted Israel destroyed. In verse 14 and 15, we hear of the time of rejoicing. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 43, it says this. It says, rejoice, O you nations, with his people, his, capitalized, meaning God's people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. That's God, his servants. He's going to avenge the blood of his servants, God's servants, and will render the vengeance of his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and his people. Did you get that? It's God's land. But what is that land? It's Israel. The chosen land that God chose for his people. And he's saying right there, he will be merciful unto his land and his people. That's Israelite. So peoples, nations of our world today are warned by God himself that he will punish them if they attack Israel. I'm letting that sink in, okay? Because you know the nations that are attacking Israel have attacked Israel constantly with it. To attack Israel, to insult Israel, to speak evil against Israel, is paramount to attacking, insulting, and speaking against God. Because that's God's land, God's people. We should rejoice for Israel that God is their defender. How would you like God being your defender? He is. He is. You've been bought and you've been purchased. God, Lord Jesus Christ, bought you. You now are in the kingdom of God. Nothing can tear you away from that. You may sin, and all do, but that won't keep you out of heaven. But you will answer for it. You may lose some of your crown jewels or whatever God had planned for you, but that's not going to keep you away from God. What will keep you away from God is never accepting his Son as Lord and Savior. that to keep you from God.
Look at 2 Thessalonians, and this we're closing with this. But we should rejoice that God is our defender. We should rejoice that God is Israel's defender. He's their rock. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. I'll read that and we're closing. And God will provide rest for you. Who is you? That's me and you, the children of God, who are being persecuted, and also for us, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, He will come with His mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from His glorious power. When He comes on that day, He will receive glory from His people, us, me and you. When He comes, those that's gathered to meet Him in the air, and if we're here alive when He comes, when we're raptured up, we're going to give Him glory. We will give Him glory. Praise from all that believe. This includes you, includes me, includes all of those that have died believing in God under the old sacrificial system, all of those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ forward. For you believe what we told you about Him. That was Paul writing this. So, Paul is saying, we keep on praying for you, asking God to enable you to live a life worthy of His call, and may He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored because of the way that you live, and you will be honored along with Him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Let me pray for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let me bless you, okay? Father, this has been a hard lesson. But hopefully, Father God, your people will see and understand that those who curse try to destroy your people, try to destroy the land that you've designated as your land. Father, you'll take care of it. And Lord, we ask God that your perfect will be done concerning this war that's going on in the Middle East with the blockage of Hormuz and all of that, with Iran, Israel, the United States, and all the others who are actively involved. Father, we know, God, that the nation is just sitting on a trigger here, and it could go either way. So, Father, I pray that your perfect will be done with the nation of Iran, according to your will at this time and moment that we are living. The same with the United States, Father God. And Lord, we know, Father God, that you have destroyed nations because they have sinned against you. And we know, Father God, you used a nation to destroy them sometimes that was not a holy, godly nation. And yet, Father God, then you turned around and destroyed the nation that destroyed the nation. So, Father, it's scary times, but Father, you are in control, and I pray that your perfect will be done in all things. So, Father, Lord, as your word said here, I pray for these, Father God, these people, your elect. And I pray, Father God, that you, Father God, would enable them to live a life that is worthy of your calling. Father God, that you would keep them and you give them power to accomplish all the good things you would have them to do. And God, that you would give them faith to live a life that is pleasing unto you. And Father, that they would honor you and glorify you for the rest of their days. Bless them, Lord, in their spirit, their soul, their minds, and their bodies with an ever-increasing knowledge and understanding of your word. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.